noticed in the recreation room, the memorial fireplace with stones brought from all over the world. My Baptist mission station in Africa and China, Nazareth, in the birthplace of Mrs. McClure and Mr. Hester. There's a stone there from the birthplace of Dr. W.O. Carver. It was taken from the foundation of the house. And according to the record, it came from right under the bed where he was born. Dr. Carver, from the birth of this institution on down to the present, has been right under the support of the school. The stone from the house where he was born has a prominent and significant place in the memorial fireplace in the recreation room. And Dr. Carver has a prominent and a significant place in our hearts and in the history of the school. He has been our friend. We covet his continued support and interest in us. He has numbered himself among the founders, the supporters of the school. We would honor him this evening, and yet he is honoring us in coming to speak to us. Dr. Carver.
And President Lansdell and friends, I accept the word of tribute to my friendship, however much it may be worth. If I were not a genuine friend of the institution, I should not be here speaking tonight. And one of the discoveries which the president made after she was taken over was that Founders Day came very early and they had no speaker. So she called me. And I am here with joy and delight, and congratulations to all of you who are here. Institutions very properly keep living and vital their sense of obligation to their founders by an annual day set apart for giving thanks to God for them, and for passing on to the flowing stream of supporters and students information and appreciation of those who are responsible under God for founding the institution. And the students of any institution, which is worthy to have students, ought to see to it that every generation of students has an opportunity to get close and intimate acquaintance with those who founded it and set it going, who gave it its tone and its spirit, its aspirations. Among those who were instrumental in originating and establishing this training school, leaders in the control and support of this work, wisely and justly selected 5 women who were more responsible than any others for originating the enterprise and setting it on its career of growing usefulness in the meaning and the mission of the gospel and the kingdom of our Lord. Miss Eliza Broadus, modest to the point of timidity, capable and cultured daughter of John A. Broadus, himself one of the jewels of learning, leadership and luster in Baptist history. She had clearly been chosen by the Holy Spirit to receive and nurture the seed thought which produced this school as its fruit. Mrs. Samuel E. Woody, beautiful and imposing in person, unusually gifted in business insight and skillful in business conduct, and in leadership provided the aggressive courage without which success would have been difficult, if in any wise possible. She had the business ability and the insight of faith to make purchases of buildings and sign checks in our confidence in God and in the people who would provide the money. Mrs. George B. Eager, broad in our culture, keen in her insights, gracious in leadership, and daring in the face of difficulties and opposition, was the statesman among the nurturing mothers of this institution in the days of his childhood in the denominational family, when the family was slow to recognize the newborn child. God brought to the leadership of WMU, Auxiliary to Southern Baptist Convention, at just the right time, one of the ablest, most cultured, and most competent women the Southern Baptists have ever known. Just at the time when the school especially needed sympathetic understanding, confident support of the WMU organization, Miss Fanny E. S. Heck will remain a bright particular star in the crown of glory and rejoicing of the WMU and of its favorite child, the training school. These four provided, each in her way, a necessary contribution to the making of the school. But all their efforts and success would have proved futile had not a capable administrator and educational leader been found to inaugurate and guide the work through its first extended period. Unmistakable providence and specific direct leadership of the Holy Spirit in response to prayer, much prayer. Through the mind and in response to the prayers of Mrs. Eager, located the one suitable person and against her will convinced her that here was her great calling. Mrs. Maud R. McClure will always be cherished as Mother McClure of the training school. Mother McClure, she came to be called by her own generation of students. But Mother McClure, she will always be for this institution. All these five women have had fitting tribute paid to them individually and as a group in successive Founders' Day programs. On this occasion, it is proposed to inquire how, in ways other than personal laudation and the detailing of the individual contributions of each of the founders to the life and work of the school, we may properly do honor to these founders. First of all, and always, we honor our founders best and most by continuous, grateful recognition of God's grace in providing these leaders and thus instituting our school. He was the founder, back of the founders. We honor them best by keeping ourselves always set in conscious recognition of the purpose and the provision of our God for the beloved school, and in successfully seeking his guiding wisdom and his achieving power for each need as it arises. We honor the recognized leaders by taking account of the equally important, although less pivotal, pioneer thinkers and supporters of the institution. There are a number of these in the beginning, and a great company of them in the course of these 44 years of growth and expansion. There are a few whose contribution was so definite or so extensive as to call for specific recognition and abiding remembrance of them. And yet when one begins to name them, one always hesitates because there are others who are only a little, if any less, deserving of such recognition. At the head of any such list must stand the name of Dr. E. Z. Simmons, great missionary to China, who, so far as can be ascertained, was the human originator of the idea and the earliest proponent of a school for training women for foreign missionary service. In his experience in China, he discovered that with all their devotion and with all their native ability and all their spiritual power, these women lacked preparation in an understanding of the Bible, in a knowledge of Christian doctrine, in insights into Christian history. And he felt that they greatly needed special preparation for foreign missionary service. It was on a furlough in 1889 that he began suggesting this. In an address in Louisville, he presented the idea, which fell as a seed of promise in the soil of the warm heart of Miss Broaddus, to germinate and ultimately to bear fruit in the actual inauguration of the school. Dr. Simmons received vigorous encouragement from the great-hearted Foreign Mission Secretary Willingham. But the Baptist leadership of the convention, and even of the young WMU organization, was not yet ready, and other factors had to come into play before the thought could be realized. When at last, in the early years of this century, the time was ripe, there were men and women who shared in the groundwork, in the promotion and the direction for originating the school and nurturing it through the period of its childhood and adolescence. Among members of the seminary faculty, President Mullins was particularly important and helpful. His prophetic insight, his skillful diplomacy, his influence with Baptist leadership, and his wise counsel with the responsible women who were affecting the organization were of incalculable value. Other members of the faculty lent such encouragement as they might. In the preparatory years, 1904 to 1907, a committee of Louisville women were meeting demands which could not be resisted or postponed, and were providing for residence and special instruction for women clamoring for education preparatory to mission service. An inconspicuous little woman, Miss Beulah D. Fuller by name, member of the Chestnut Street Baptist Church, an earnest evangelistic spirit, for 2 years provided a sum of $600 for the salary of a teacher and guide in personal work and special missionary preparation. An active committee of Louisville women provided living quarters for these pre-training school students and supervised their studies and their life. Among these, because of their prominence in health and for long continued service, we should mention Mrs. Trevor H. Huane, Miss Fanny Moses, Mrs. E.Y. Mullins, and Mrs. W.J. McLaughlin, all of whom counseled and labored with the five who were recognized as the founders. God, who gave us the founders, gives us still our builders and our guides, he who led us to Mother McClure, has followed up that leading by providing a head of the school and just the right one at each stage of its development. Mrs. Bowes, for a period of transition, and surely he has manifested himself in the choice of Miss Carrie U. Littlejohn, who for 30 years was assistant and then chief director of the fortunes of this institution. And then when the crisis came, he had already prepared and pointed definitely in direction to one to succeed her. One other name should be mentioned in this connection, Miss Emma Leachman, a missionary worker in the slum section of our city. She was an aggressive, resolute, earnest, and unterrified missionary. When a home was found for the young women who were in preparation for missionary service, Miss Leachman came to live with them in the house and was unofficial leader, instructor, and stabilizer for these younger women. After a long life of eminent service, much of it as a missionary of the Southern Baptist Home Mission Board, Miss Leachman had to retire on account of a heart ailment, but is still living in a good home for retired workers, where her bedside is a shrine of devotion for some who have known her and been blessed by her through these years. One name especially must be called in the list of patrons of the school. Dr. J.M. Frost, originator and long the executive secretary of the Sunday School Board, from the very start envisioned the importance and the career of the WMU in this training school. He was one of the ablest, most influential of Southern Baptist statesmen. Besides making friends and overawing critics, he led the Sunday School Board to appropriate $20,000 for the first building owned by the school and $10,000 additional from the occupation of the first house beautiful. But besides our principals and presidents, without devoted and competent faculty members and administrative personnel, success would still be lacking. Such teachers and workers have not been lacking, and to them, tribute is always due. The roster cannot be called. We honor our founders by recognizing the volunteer spirit, the missionary devotion, and the youthful daring of the young women who, by coming to Louisville to sit by permission in the classes of the seminary in order to equip themselves for their work, made necessary and inevitable the founding of the school. It had to be because of these determined souls. It's not generally known that besides the famous Big Four, commonly recognized in accounts of the days of beginning of the training school, there were no fewer than 9 unmarried women who had taken seminary courses and studied in a special course provided for religious work. And along with these, the number of wives of students sitting in seminary classes was steadily increasing. And numbers of these married ladies took advantage of the extra opportunities which were offered by the Louisville Committee fostering this work. The class of women seriously studying, reciting, and taking examinations in the year preceding the opening of the training school included as many as 30. These were the file leaders of the thousands to follow in their train. The effective service of the school in the training of some 3,500 women for Christian service pays tribute to the devotion and the wisdom of the founders. The vast achievements, the widespread influence of these graduates caused the founders to stand out in a glorious picture as the Klieg lights are focused upon the assembly of founders and leaders. They themselves have poured so brilliant a light that it requires extraordinary light to cause these founders to be in their midst as preeminent. We may say without hesitation that it is due to the influence of these alumni of the training school that the WMU has grown so wonderfully in direct religious service, in financial support of all Baptist enterprises, and in the all but universal grateful recognition of the WMU as a factor in the life and the work of the Southern Baptist Convention. Without these alumni going in increasing numbers out into the life of the denomination year after year, the WMU could never become anything comparable to what it is today in influence and in service, and could never achieve the recognition which it is now receiving from the entire brotherhood of our rapidly growing denomination. Perhaps most of all, we honor our founders by fulfilling their dream and by expanding their vision. What they began, we carry on. They labored, and we enter into their labors. They died with aspects of their vision, yet unrealized. For one thing, because their vision was always enlarging. The great orator of the New Testament era, whose masterful exposition of the superiority of the Christian faith we read in the book of Hebrews, rightly put the stress of divine achievement through the centuries on the faith, pioneering, daring, and sacrifice of heroes of advance. And he called upon Christians of his generation to emulate the faith of these founders and leaders. God, he said, had provided for these pioneers some better thing involving us, that apart from us, they should not be made perfect. We honor our heroes of faith by contributing in our generation to the fulfilling of their dream and to the enlargement of their vision. Yet we too must pass on the dream enlarged by our contribution as it awaits further fulfillment in the ensuing generation by amplifying and multiplying their works as we are called upon to meet emerging needs. We best honor them. It was no easy task, one that called for courageous daring, which they faced. I may say in passing that the last time I spoke on Founders Day, I set out some of the difficulties which they faced and the terrible tragedies here and there which were involved in that founding. No easy task, call for courageous daring. They took it up and brought to a high degree of success and promise that which they had undertaken. In the half century since they began thinking and hoping and planning, the world has enormously changed. Our denomination has greatly increased in numbers and has expanded its organizations and its commitments and his whole concept of its relation to the great purposes of God has grown more complex and more demanding. The radically changing world conditions of this half century have been accompanied by corresponding changes in the understanding, in the objectives, in the methods, in the relations of missionary outreach of our Christian churches. Of course, there have come about extensive changes within these churches themselves, therefore. So much is all this true that around 1930, there was a formal movement for rethinking missions. Such rethinking has had to be extensive. Some respects, tends to be revolutionary. We are at the moment in the midst of a powerful movement toward uniting evangelical denominations in unified cooperative movements looking toward an actual world Christianity. All missionary undertakings will be extensively affected by this movement. Whether they permit themselves to be incorporated in it or are constrained by prudence and conviction to stand apart from it. In any case, we've come to a time when there must be, as at no former time, a serious undertaking toward making Christianity worldwide. And a worldwide Christianity must be made a powerful factor in world change in all aspects of the life and culture of the human race. And this brings to our training school constituency and responsible administration problems such as we have not faced until now. All our worthwhile plans and works need to be under constant scrutiny and from time to time to be revised, readjusted, and related to new conditions. The reward of successful work is always a demand for more and more complicated work. The trustees, the administration, the faculty and friends of the training school will pay their highest tribute to the founders by discovering the needs of today as they discovered the needs of their day, by accepting the responsibilities of our life in the complex world of today as they accepted the responsibilities which the Spirit of God imposed upon them in their day, by daring to make any adjustments and to undertake any new forms of service, the enterprise which the founders set going according to the needs of their day. And we shall surely account that the God of our founders and his Spirit of wisdom and courage will not fail in our day if we share the faith of these founders and their boldness in behalf of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so the training school, as it grows older, will always find its life renewed and will always find the renewing Spirit of God available for us as we shall remember how again and again the scriptures tell us of how God proclaims, "Behold, I make all things new."